KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde. Washington State may be on the brink of becoming the seventh state in the union to legalize same-sex marriage. Meanwhile, openly gay characters are now relatively common on television. So where is TV and what's the connection between TV and what's happening in society? TV expert and professor Robert Thompson joins us now. He directs the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. Professor Thompson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with this show, Modern Family. It's on ABC. It stars a gay male couple as one of the central relationships in the program. And kind of what does this show represent to you as far as a milestone when it comes to representations of gay culture on TV?
Well, I suppose, I think that show's important in a number of ways. For one thing, in this, you know, era where we're going after these young, hip, snarky viewers, and we have so many of these dysfunctional families, Modern Family is so conservative. I swear it reminds me of The Cosby Show or Family Ties way back then. All three of those families love each other and support each other, and there's something so kind of warm and fuzzy about that show, but it still manages to be hip and funny and appeal to a young audience. I suppose it's one of its important things is that it's showing a stable, functional gay couple raising kids kind of the way normal people raise kids. The very fact that this couple is kind of stable and boring is something of a breakthrough.
Here's a cut with this couple, Cam and Mitchell, running into each other on the road.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but just barely. Is this how loud you were talking?
It might have been a little bit louder. There was traffic. I mean, I almost had to shout.
You almost had to what?
Shout.
A little bit louder now.
Shout.
A little bit louder now.
Shout!
Hey!
Really, Cam? My job is at stake here, and who are we kidding? You can obviously hear me. I am so screwed.
All right, so that's a cut from the program Modern Family. And we're talking to TV expert and Professor Robert Thompson about the connection between what's happening in society and what we're seeing on television this fall, and also historically. We'll get to that in just a minute. But what are some other examples of openly gay characters on TV this fall?
Well, you know, I was going through the list and, you know, of new shows and the shows that are already on. Chicago Fire has got a gay character. Scandal has got a gay character. Smash. GCB, although I think that's gone, Revenge, American Horror Story has had a number of them, Game of Thrones, one right after the other, the Playboy Club, that's off, Boardwalk Empire, the list goes on and on, Sons of Anarchy. And what's so interesting is that for so long there were zero gay characters, and when one showed up on a TV show in the 70s or the 80s, it was kind of stop the press's news.
So
now you'd almost be hard-pressed to find a long-running show that didn't, at least at some point in its run, have somebody in the GLBT category.
So why now? Why 2012?
Well, I think a number of reasons. For one thing, a generation ago, and certainly two generations ago, many people who were gay or lesbian or bisexual weren't talking about it. I mean, we go into the Mike Wallace did a CBS Reports special in about 67, I think it was, called CBS Reports: The Homosexuals. And this is late 60s, and this very sober, stable news report is still treating homosexuality as a deviant, psychological problem, something that needs to be addressed as opposed to embraced. And of course, even once that began to change socially, it took television a long time to catch up with it. I think one of the things that really accelerated this was when AIDS emerges in about 1982. I think we officially start using that term. And that affected so many people. Everybody seemed to know at least one, if not many people. And if they didn't know them, they knew of celebrities and that kind of thing. And then Rock Hudson and all the rest of it. I think that the extreme nature of the devastation that came from that really kind of forced a lot of this stuff out into the open in a way that it hadn't been before. There are a lot of other reasons television changed besides that, but I think that had a lot to do with it.
And one of the TV shows that we want to talk about is the one that I think you're going to identify as having the first openly gay character, and that's Soap.
You know, Jody, when we were younger, there was no such thing as homosexuals.
Yes, there were, Jessica. The homosexuals go way back in history.
Who?
Alexander the Great was gay. Plato was gay.
Plato? Mickey Mouse's dog was gay?
So that, of course, is the voice of Billy Crystal, who played this character Jody Dallas on this TV show Soap in the 70s. And I think some people probably don't know what Soap is. So what is Soap, Robert Thompson, and how revolutionary was this?
Yeah, well, it was way ahead of its time. It was a weekly primetime show on ABC. But it was designed after the pattern of a daytime soap opera. So it had continuing storylines. They would review the storylines at the beginning of each episode. It was a parody of a soap opera as a weekly show. And it did all kinds of stuff that, priests sleeping with, I think there was a priest who ended up sleeping with both a mother and the mother's daughter and all this kind of stuff. One of the few times the Roman Catholic Church groups and gay rights groups were actually joining hands to protest Soap.
We're talking to TV expert Professor Robert Thompson about television and how closely it tracks what's happening in society, whether it's ahead or behind of cultural changes that are going on. And specifically, we're talking about representations right now of gay characters on TV. And I'm wondering, Robert Thompson, one critical interpretation of television is that basically it exists to sell, the eyeballs of viewers to advertisers. And therefore, it's hard for TV to be out ahead of anything because that's its primary function, is the business of television. What do you think about that?
Well, that theory held for a long time. By the way, we could say the same thing about the entire newspaper industry during its golden age once it started selling advertising as well. So a lot of fine industries have been supported by advertising. But it is true. Television used to be, it didn't want to offend anybody because it wanted to maximize audiences, and it wanted to maximize audiences because the more people that watched, the more they'd get paid for advertising. And that all stayed true till about January of 1971. So you had the world you saw on TV prior to that, it looked like our real world, but all the kind of controversy was erased. My favorite example of this is a show called Gomer Pyle USMC. Gomer Pyle is his Hayseed, the spinoff of the Andy Griffith Show. This program plays from 1964 to 1969, during some of the most horrible, deadly years of the Vietnam War. And it's set in the contemporary Marine Corps, for heaven's sakes, and it never mentions Vietnam. All a Marine has to worry about in this show is, will my locker be clean enough for the big inspection? What happens when my sergeant leaves his girlfriend in my care so she doesn't get hit on by others and she falls in love with me? These are that's how Vietnam and the Marines were dealt with on primetime. And that was true across the board. And then in those days, we did not have gay characters. We didn't have characters of all kinds of different groups. Then All in the Family comes out in January of 1971, and that really changes everything, because not only does it break about every rule of what you couldn't do on television week after week after week, but it's a number one show for 5 years in a row doing it. So once advertisers and networks thought we can be number one by doing the opposite of what we thought was useful, that changed everything. And now I think actually rather than being behind the social eight ball, I think television is often in front of it now.
We're talking to TV expert and Professor Robert Thompson. He directs the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. And I want to stick with this question of representations of gayness on TV. And earlier you were mentioning the AIDS crisis in the 1980s as kind of a turning point. What was happening on television in the 1980s?
Well, I suppose the first big show was a made-for-TV movie called That Certain Summer in 1972. And that was about, Martin Sheen and, I'm forgetting who his co-star was. Anyway, these two guys who, one of them finally comes out to his teenage son that he's been living and he's got this partner and all the rest of it. But very little other stuff. Then we already talked about Billy Crystal's character on Soap. By the time we get to the 1980s, things are beginning to change, not so much with main characters, but a lot of these new shows. Remember, Hill Street Blues comes out in 1981, which kind of ups the artistic bar for television. And then you get a lot of these shows like L.A. Law and 30-something and programs like that that almost start using the introduction of gay characters as a way to prove their avant-garde credentials. It was almost like any television show in the 80s, especially as we got to the later 80s, that wanted to be taken seriously as part of this new artistic TV, almost needed to have at least one gay character. And that's when we start experimenting with same-sex kisses. Dynasty did one. And then pretty soon that became almost a mandatory thing. There were same-sex kisses on Roseanne and later in the 90s on Ally McBeal and one show after another.
All right, well, let's...
Like, here comes the same-sex kiss episode.
Speaking of Ally McBeal...
She thought it would all go away if I did kiss you. Maybe we should. Just to see what it's like. What do you think it would be like? Soft.
So that's Calista Flockhart and her co-worker, played by Lucy Liu, in the program Ally McBeal. So this sounds like progress.
Yeah, well, and that was a particularly interesting one, because not only do these two women, and that was a very seductive little bit of dialogue, not only do they kiss, but usually at the end it's like, okay, well, we were just experimenting, we're really straight, that's how these things always ended. Not only did they kiss and enjoy it, they enjoyed it so much that they kissed again. And these were long, really intimate kinds of kisses. So by the time we get to Ally McBeal, that, I mean, right, progress, whatever, it was almost like this wasn't a controversy anymore. And then when Ellen finally comes out on her show, this is the late 90s, but this time you've got gay people who are openly gay in politics and on school boards and running, you know, principals of schools and whatever. And in some ways it was like, what took this so long? But that was still a big deal because it was a network show and she was the main title character. And that episode, when she comes out, is so beautifully held. I still teach it in class and it holds up really, really well. And I think by that time it was, okay, if we got a main character in a sitcom now, however you feel about this, the controversy is over. This has now gone from avant-garde to derriere-garde, and you know, we'll move on to other controversies.
And in the case of Ellen, I mean, she's a real character. She's not a fictional character. She's
right,
a real
and
person.
And that also gave that some juice. And the funny thing was she came out much earlier, and then she kept dropping in. They became kind of annoying, actually, which they made fun of in that episode. She kept dropping in these little clues that the coming out episode was about to come. And in that episode, it opens where Ellen is still in her room getting dressed, and all her people, all her friends are waiting. She says, "Come on, Ellen, we got to get going." She goes, "I'll be out in a minute." And one of the guys goes, "Aren't you ever coming out? Just come out already." Very clever.
Robert Thompson directs the Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. And we're talking about the connection between what's happening in society and what we see on television. Are you aware of any cases, you know, in the present or the recent past where writers are being told, look, you're going way too far. Society's kind of not ready for this. Is that something that's still happening? You said it was happening prior to 1971. Does it still happen today?
Yeah, well, I think in most cases the shows that we're now talking about that are breaking all the ground tend to be on basic cable or pay cable. And I have a sneaking suspicion that in those writers' meetings, the producers are more likely to go, hey, can't you spice this? You're not going far enough kind of thing. I mean, I think it's almost flipped. It is true. We all used to hear those stories about how a great script would be written, and then the network executives would, you know, redline all this stuff. You can't do this. The audience isn't ready for this. I don't know. If anybody has been watching the likes of Breaking Bad and Dexter and a little before that, The L Word and The Wire even, Deadwood, if somebody is telling them things they can't be doing because the audience isn't ready for it, I can't imagine what it is, because it seems like they're doing a lot of stuff we may not be quite ready for in terms of, I mean, Dexter is a series about a serial killer who's a good guy. That is a totally different television environment than we had back when Kojak and Dukes of Hazzard were on.
All right, and Robert Thompson, I want to end with a question about TV show Mad Men and a character, Sal Romano, who in this scene is talking to Don Draper.
We should be asking ourselves, what do women want?
I don't know, but I wish I had it.
So, you know, Mad Men, of course, is a show about an ad agency back in the 1960s. And I'm wondering how this character, Sal Romano, you know, because it's a character from the past, but how that factors into kind of where we are in the present, in your mind.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, one of the things about Mad Men is that it allows us, number one, to show the 60s much more like they actually were than show TV of the 60s, which showed the 60s completely like they weren't. I mean, we never really got to see the 60s on TV during the 60s, and the Mad Men, I mean, tries to kind of retroactively correct that. And then the idea of, unlike that dialogue from Soap, which, oh, when I was a kid, there was no homosexuality. The fact is, like Billy Crystal's character said, it goes back a long way. And now we kind of have to, now I think Mad Men is one of these revisiting of an era, now that we can actually have characters who certainly existed back then, but they can now be portrayed as opposed to completely erased.
Robert Thompson is a professor of, I want to say professor of television, but you're a professor who directs the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. And I just want to end with your thoughts about, you were saying a minute ago, you know, if anybody's telling these writers, you know, what not to write, you can't imagine what they're saying don't write. But where do you see this headed? Where is it headed in the future?
Well, I think, I mean, right now we have got about the best TV that we have ever had. If you take a look at, you know, stuff that's on HBO and AMC and whatever, it's just so much better than any other time in television history, and it's been getting better since 81. I hope that continues. I hope television continues to thrive as a medium that in some ways can even do things that the novel can't do, because you can have these stories go on and on and on. You can develop characters over time. You know, it used to be if you got a job in television, all you wanted to do is get out and go to the movie and become a director in feature films. You wanted to leave television as soon as possible. People would always say in television, oh, what I really want to do is direct. If I were a young artist right now and I was directing feature films and someone asked me what I really wanted to do, I'd think, this directing feature films is fine, but what I really want to do is develop a series for HBO.
All right, Robert Thompson, thanks so much for telling us about it. Robert Thompson directs the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.